Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio this morning after getting an inch and a half of rain last night and some hail in the area, some big hail in the Ortonville, Appleton area last night, I understand. Beautiful skies this morning, and we're going to kick off the coach's show talking baseball with head coach Bart Hill, the La Crosse Valley Eagles. You run through that hailstorm coming back from Canby last night, Bart?
We did, and it was piling up in the ditches, looked like some snow drifts, although it was hail drifts. So, yeah, we slowed down a little bit until it went by. I saw a beautiful rainbow and rain and hail and just about everything. I think I saw Dorothy go by, too.
Yeah, I was a bit behind you coming back from Canby last night, and boy, by the 5 mile corner there, I had to pull over and stop. I thought my windshield was going to break with the hail.
It was something. Much needed rain, though.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's start talking baseball. You had a busy week this week, Bart.
We did. We started on Tuesday, big conference section game against RCW, and we did so many things right, but in the end, we did too many things wrong. We lost that game 6-5. It was broadcast on the radio, extra innings. It was really a great game. You know, we've been working on our pitching, trying to do a better job of throwing strikes and keeping people off the base pass. And for the most part, we really did that. You know, Avery Whitnable started on the mound, and he had 10 strikeouts and just one walk, which is awesome. Gave up 4 runs, but none of them were earned. Ended up throwing 6 innings in that game. And then Blake Wilschlager threw the last 2 innings, and he took the loss. He just gave up 1 walk, had 3 strikeouts, and only gave up 2 hits and 1 earned run. And it was, our defense was the story of the game. We had 6 errors, and every one of those errors led to a scoring opportunity for RCW. And they didn't have many hits. They only had 6 hits in the game, but you know, those hits came through when we gave them extra bases, and that was unfortunate. You know, we out-hit them, we out-pitched them. It was just our 6 errors on defense, and they only had 1. But in our leadoff spot, Landon Sherm, he was 1-for-4 with an RBI. Carter Hamlin continues to swing a hot bat. He was 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs, and he had a triple in that game. Avery Whitnable was 1-for-4. Blake Wilschlager was 1-for-3. He had 2 RBIs, including a safety squeeze, and asked the big fella if he could bunt. He goes, I don't know, I'll try. So I said, why don't you just try to bunt it down the first baseline, and if Carter can read it good, he can score. And
who's this?
Blake Wilschlager. Okay. And so he did that, and we scored, and I said, you're tied for the team with 1 sacrifice bunt, and you got an RBI out of it, so actually you're in the lead. And then we had Tyler Schickendance was 2-for-3, and then Dane Mortensen was 1-for-4, but you know, like I said, just too many mistakes in that game. Pitching was really good, and it was a great game. I mean, great entertaining game, but in the end, we just didn't do enough defensively to come out with a win. So then we had hosted Tracy Milroy on Thursday, and that one went a little bit better, mostly thanks to some untimely mistakes by the other team finally. I had remarked to a couple people that in the 9 games we had played, no one had ever made more than 2 errors against us, and that changed. Tracy Milroy Ballatin made 4 errors in that game, and they all led to runs for us finally. But we came away with a 7-0 shutout win, and in that game we started our freshman Dylan Geiser. He got his 2nd start of the year on the mound and did another tremendous job through 6 innings, gave up just 4 hits, and obviously didn't give up a run. He did walk 3, but he struck out 2 and got us out of a couple jams, which was nice. And then Blake Wilschlager came in and just threw the last inning. Just needed 12 pitches and had 2 strikeouts to get out of that. But hitting, we had 9 hits again that game. Landon Sherm was 2-for-2, scored a couple runs. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-2 with an RBI. Carter Hamlin was 2-for-4 with 3 RBI. Avery Whitnable was 2-for-4. He had an RBI. We had Caden Alpress was 1-for-3. Blake Wilschlager was 1-for-2. And so 9 hits in there. We did commit a couple of errors, but fortunately for us, they didn't cost us anything. And then we went down. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, where was that game played at?
That was in Madison on Thursday night.
Oh,
just
yeah,
a gorgeous
Madison,
night, yeah. And then Friday, we were on the road originally to Pipestone, but because of our COVID quarantine that we had to take time off for, We could only find this night for our conference game with Canby, so we switched in Canby and dropped the Pipestone game, unfortunately. And we came away with 11-1 win in five innings. And Canby's a very young team, and you know they were struggling a little bit and gave us some free passes. But you know, at this point of the year, we just want to take care of what we can do. We only had four hits in that game. Landon Sherm was 1-for-2, but he had a big bases clearing triple that really helped us in the third inning, and that made the score 8-0 at that time. He ended up with four RBIs. Carter Amlin had a weak night. He only had one hit, Paul. Oh, that's rare for Carter.
And what's wrong with Carter?
I don't know. We got to check that out. But yeah,
what is he batting?
Well, he was going into last night batting like 630, which is pretty good in high school baseball. Well, it's pretty good at any level. So, and he just is really a good, solid contact hitter, and so I know he was really disappointed because he swung at a couple pitches that normally he wouldn't swing at. But anyways, he's a good player. He had an RBI with that one hit. We had Tyler Shikadance had a single, and then we had, let's see, not many. I got to go back down. Oh, yeah, Dane Mortensen was 1-for-3. He had two RBIs, one in his single and one on a ground out. So just four hits in that game, three errors. Pitching last night, we started Blake again, and we commented of our 11 games, I think he's thrown in 8 of them. Sometimes he only throws, you know, an out or two or one half or an inning. But he had thrown 3 innings and gave up just one hit, one run, a couple walks, had 7 strikeouts. And then we wanted to get some other pitchers in. So Landon Sherm came in, and he pitched an inning and 2/3, gave up just one hit but no runs, had a strikeout. And then he was at that close to that 31 pitch mark where you have to rest, and we really wanted to use him today. So we brought in Carter Amlin to get the last out of the inning, and the umpire is mad at me. Why are you switching with 2 outs in the bottom of the 5th and you're up by 10? I go, because he reached the pitch count, and we don't want to, you know, not have access to him on Saturday. And Carter's arm was a little bit sore, but I said, can you just get the last out? And he did that, you know, so it worked out all right. So,
good.
Yeah, 11-1 in that game. So I think our conference record is 5-2 right now, and then we've lost 3 non-conference games. So we're 4 non-conference games. Like, anyways, we're 5-6 overall. And today we're heading down to the ballpark. Originally it was going to be a tri-team tournament with Border West, which is Clinton, Graceville, Beardsley, Wheaton, Herman, Norcross, I don't know, Milbank, South Dakota, Fargo. I don't know who's all on that group. Basically all of 75 going north. Bellingham, I think they jumped in there too this year.
A lot of schools involved out there,
So anyways, and we were supposed to play them in Wyoming, Yellow Mess, and East, but there was a contract scheduling conflict. And so they were not coming. So we're just going to play Border West in one varsity game followed by a junior varsity game, which is great for them because they don't get to play very many games. And that'll start at 11 o'clock at the ballpark here in town.
Okay. Back up to your home game with TMB. I understand there was a couple great defensive plays, catches in that game.
Well,
everyone's talking about it.
We've had so many good center fielders over the years, and now we've got Landon Sherm, and he's one of the fastest, if not the fastest, center fielder we've ever had. And, you know, he just makes so many fly balls and balls in the gap look easy because he's there waiting for him, which most people can't. But there was a ball drifting. The wind was blowing from the west, you know, and it was a ball in the left center gap, and it's like, crap, we're just thinking, there's a double, they're going to score a run. And just out of nowhere, you see a red blur, and he literally dove like Superman, flew through the air and caught it, and it was just amazing. But the first pitch of the game, Brandon Rios got his first start ever because he was a track guy in right field, and it was kind of a routine fly, and he backpedaled and fell over and did a somersault, and the ball bounced off something, his head, glove, I don't know, whatever, rolled up, and he was still rolling. He turned around, stuck his glove up, and caught it on the second hop, or whatever, and it was just still in the air the whole time, and it was a catch, so we laughed and go, I wish we would have had that on film, because it was really hilarious. But, you know, Carter Amlin made a super play in the hole to throw out a lead runner at third base that saved a big inning. And then our young pitcher, Dylan Geiser, you know, they had 3 shots right back at him at the mound. And, you know, he was playing defense, deflecting him like a hockey goalie, and scrambled and picked him up. And they're all 3 close plays. So we really had 5 nice plays in that game that you normally don't see in high school baseball very often.
So. Right, right. And last night, the game we were doing on the radio, Landon Sherm really had a three-run triple, like you said, a well-hit ball over the center fielder's head.
Yeah, it was. And at first, I thought it was going to be an inside the Parker.
Yeah.
But the outfielder got to it really fast and hit it right on the cutoff, and so we elected not to send Landon.
You should have sent him.
I could have tried, yeah. So you don't see many inside the park home runs.
No.
So, but, yeah, so we'll see how it goes. It was a busy week, like you said, and next week we've got we go to McRae, we go to Yellow Medicine East, and they both are having outstanding seasons. And then we got Morris at home on Friday, and they're having a really good season. So we're going through the gauntlet, and we'll see how we get through that. But we'll start today taking on Border West.
Okay. And Thursday, you said you're at...
Thursday, we're going to Yellow Medicine East, and Tuesday is at McRae and Raymond.
Oh, and McRae, yeah. Yeah, we'll be broadcasting the McRae game
Tuesday.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. So yep. I should note that the JV finally got a win on, that was against TMB, and I don't remember the final score, but they scored quite a few runs, and they've been struggling a little bit to score runs, so it was nice to see them get into the win column.
All right, what time's the game start today?
We will start at 11 o'clock down at the ballpark.
All right, beautiful day for baseball.
It should be gorgeous.
How'd the field take the rain last night?
It's already dry. It is really amazing. You know, it's got tiling underneath it, and it just sucks it right up. So it'll actually be an ideal playing condition.
All right, real good, Bart.
Right,
thanks for
guys.
The report. Yep, that's head coach Bart Hill of the Eagles. We'll take a break and talk with head coach Barry Bessonen, La Caprile Valley golf team. We'll be right back. So Wearable Designs downtown Appleton is celebrating moms the whole month of May. It's a Mother's Day sale now through Monday, May 24th at So Wearable Designs. 20% off store-wide. That's right, 20% off store-wide. Sign mom up for a gift certificate that will be drawn on Monday, May 24th. Also, 30% off in-stock school apparel during this sale. So Wearable Designs is open Monday through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4, and located on Main Street, Appleton. So Wearable Designs, your one-stop shop for unique apparel and gifts.
At First Security Bank in Canby, they'd like to remind area farmers that experience counts. Like farming, ag lending isn't something you learn overnight, and it's not something you can learn from a book either. First Security Bank in Canby has many years of professional experience in agricultural lending and all types of guaranteed loan programs. For farm operating, livestock, or real estate financing, see the experienced staff at First Security Bank of Canby, wishing the Canby Lancers the best of luck. First Security Bank of Canby, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender, and proud sponsor of the L.A. Amundsen Scholarship Program.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Boys Golf with head coach Barry Bessonen, who's in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Barry.
Morning.
Beautiful day to play golf today on a Saturday.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Got to get my golf clubs out. Have you? I'm sure you played a round or so already.
A little bit. I haven't had time for much, and the cold has scared me off too. It takes me a little longer to get loose, so I like the warm days.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
you
so
do.
Maybe this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, next weekend it sounds like it's going to be in the high 80s. So.
Oh, my kind of weather.
Is it really?
Yes.
Not me.
I like it hot.
Well, let's talk about the boys' golf team this week.
We had two events this week. We started the week on Monday. We had the Camden Conference Tournament down in Marshall, kind of the culminating event of our conference season where the North and South teams come together. We determine, you know, who the season team champion is. We you know, with all the scores, determine who the all-conference team is out of all this. So it's a pretty big event. You know, Marshall Golf Course is a great course and is in great condition again last week. The event that day was won by Community Christian with a score of 329, and with that they ended up clinching the overall regular season championship. They were 22 shots ahead of runner-up Lakeview at 351, followed by Mineota at 362. Canby was fourth at 372. RCW was fifth at 379. We took sixth at 382. Dawson Boyd was seventh at 397. Central Minnesota Christian then with 434. Russell Tyler Ruthen 447. YME 448. And then McRae and TMB were incomplete. which gave us an overall, I think we ended up overall seventh in the conference for the cumulative standings for the year. Mm-hmm. Individually for the day against EMCS, led by Brett Reed, shot 200 par 70 at one point. I think he was at least 3 under, and it, from the way it sounded, he left, felt like he left a few shots out on the course on the greens. But
is he a senior?
He's a senior, okay. Finally. He seems like he's been around for forever. He ended up with an 8-shot victory over Jake Wagner from Canby. For us, Carson Bessonen came in 7th place out of a field of about 59-60 kids, tied for 7th. He had a little stumble with some putting coming in. Otherwise, you know, he was a little disappointed, felt he could have been a little higher, but still 7th place in that field in those conditions. It was very good. Followed up, we had JT Allstead had a great career round. Shot 90, I think it was 94. Yep, 94, tied for 19th for the day. Wow. Lucas Vosick shot his 18-hole low with 98 for 27th place. And then we went to, I think it was Charlie Allstead at a 104. Caden Stender at a 108. And Charlie was good for 37th place, 105. Caden Stender was 108, and 111, and then Will Gies was 113. My apologies, the app is acting up here. Yep. We're reading this off the iWanamaker app. Will Gies was on it, shot 113, which was a low for him. So a good day. I was very pleased with how the kids played.
What was the weather conditions like?
It looked promising. It started out, and it was kind of like this morning, a little breeze, the sun was out, and then some cloud cover came, and the wind picked up, and it never got more than about, you know, probably in the low 60s. It wasn't bad, but, you know, the way it started, we thought, hey, this is going to be really nice, and then the cloud cover took over and brought some wind in. Yeah. But and we were able to place one player on the all-conference team in Carson Bessonen, who was one of the 13 players that scored in the top 13. Yeah, he was in 8th place.
How do you figure all conference?
We had placed 6 conference meets where we go to each individual school, hosts one, and both the North and the South. You can throw two scores out, so you got to play a minimum of 4 to be eligible. So you count 36 holes there, plus you have to count the 18 in Marshall. So it's a 54-hole total, and then the top, you know, so many, I think we determined basically 25% of the eligible players plus ties.
Okay.
So this year on the boys' side, there were 13, and I think Carson came in about 8th, and it was a pretty good log jam between about 4th and 9th there, where it was 4th and 9th, 4th and 10th, where they're all within a couple shots.
Now, Carson's only an 8th grader. Yes. Any other young players?
Lakeview's an 8th grader, too, by the name of Carson Bowe, who Carson has played a lot of junior PGA with, and they've gotten to be good friends over the years, and I think those two are pretty tight, neck and neck in there. So there was a couple eighth graders that made it. So some good young talent there.
Okay.
I think there was another one that narrowly missed it. Ryan Shrupp from RCW was in contention too, but was unable to make it. So you got some good young talent coming up in the area.
Well, good for Carson. Yes. I know he's put a lot of time into golf. Like you said, in the summertime, he tours or if you want to call it that.
Yeah, he plays a lot of junior PGA, going around the state and playing in events, and he's played in, you know, some regional, and has played in a number of things down in the Twin Cities over the years, so he's had some good experiences.
Good. Okay.
And then yesterday we were able to squeeze one in over in Appleton just before the rain came, and we were watching the weather closely, and fortunately, we got started early and played quickly, and
you got it in then.
We got it in. Oh, we got done, and it started sprinkling as kids were on their last hole, and then it stopped, and then probably about a half hour later or so, it opened up, and we were watching, there's some rumbles, but everything was, you know, at least, you know, 15, 20 miles away. Yep. So you know, we were safe from that standpoint, but definitely we were watching things, and we were able to get everyone in, and everyone was long gone before the skies opened up. In that event, we had 4 teams. We had a quadrangular there, which was won by Canby at 178. Minioto was second, 184, and then we were third with 191, and then Montevideo was incomplete. Individually, I had a great showdown between Jake Wagner of Canby and Carson Bessonen. They were neck and neck. tied through 6-7 holes. I think they both birdied the 8th hole. So they're tied coming into 9, and they both had 3-footers for par on 9. It was probably the only shots I watched of the day of the group, but they both had 3-footers. Jake missed his, and Carson made his, so Carson got the one-shot win with a 37.
Okay.
And, of course, Jake Wagner shot 38, and I think the next score was Cole Myrie from Mineota at 42. So a fun duel there, and I know they both enjoyed it there afterwards. Yep. They're both chatting about it, and like I said, I got to see the final putts. That's about it, so...
Yeah, Jake's a good golfer.
Jake's a good player. Going to go play at Mankato State next year, which is Division II. So he's a very, very highly regarded player. So, it was a good experience and fun to watch. We also had Lukas Vasek shot 48 for us. Started strong and then had a couple tough holes on the par threes at the end. Will Gies shot 48 in his 9-hole low for us. Will's really been coming on lately and improving quite a bit. Hunter Kahn had stepped in. We had a couple guys who couldn't play yesterday. Charlie Alstead couldn't play. Caden Stender couldn't play. So Hunter Kahn stepped in, shot 58, had a counting score for us. And then we had JT Alstead shot 63 and Landon Kranz shot 79 to round out our scoring. So, it was good to get that event in, with subsections being, still over a week and a half away, it's good to get some play in and it's good to get some teams together. And like I said, we're able to get it in and beat the weather. So, so that was good too.
Good. All right. So what do you got coming up this week, Barry?
This week we got 2 18-hole events coming up. On Tuesday, we're going to go over to Morris. Right now, I think it's 3 teams are trying to get a 4th. I know for sure it's us, Morris, and Dawson, Boyd, and they were looking at maybe trying to get a 4th team of 18 holes starting at noon. And Morris, which will be new, we haven't played that course.
Okay.
These kids haven't played. We haven't played Morris over there probably since we were in the West Central 10 years ago.
Right.
So it'll be a new course for the kids to play. And then on Thursday, we're going over. Benson's having a little invitational starting at 10 o'clock. They're getting about 7 or 8 teams over in Benson, so we're going to get 18 holes in. Over at Benson.
I love that Benson golf course. I've played that many times.
Hit it straight.
Yep, hit it straight. Keep it in the fairway.
Keep it out of the trees. Yep. You're going to need a chainsaw.
Yep. So 2 meets this week.
2 meets, yep.
Okay. When sections start then?
Section play starts the 26th over at Eagle Creek and Wilmer. So you got to find a time to practice over there at some point, too.
That's on a Wednesday, it looks like.
Yeah, the first day is the 26th. The second day of the section is the next Wednesday, June 2nd.
Okay.
It's a Wednesday to Wednesday.
So you just play 2 18 holes?
Play 2 18 holes. They cut the field after the first day, and then the remaining kids play the second day. Scores carry over, so you don't get to start from scratch.
Okay.
So.
All right, real good, Barry. Thanks for coming to the studio this morning and filling us in on the Lac La Parole Valley boys golf team. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's head coach Barry Bessonen of the Eagles. We're going to take a break at the top of the hour here, and then we'll come back after the 9 o'clock news and weather with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 Country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Mainly clear skies and quiet today, with daytime highs approaching 76. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 49 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers, daytime highs approaching 77. Temperatures a bit above average, Monday and Tuesday, with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Tuesday. Another look at the short range, high of 76 today. Lows level off around 49 tonight. We should top off around 77 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Right now, 57.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
We've all been there, eyeing up that perfect piece of property. You can envision just how great it would be to own. And whether you want to farm it, graze it, hunt it, or build your dream house on it, Egg Country Farm Credit Services is here for you. Our financial options feature great rates and flexible terms. So the next time you're in the market for more land, contact the experts in every field at Egg Country Farm Credit Services.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention after the 9 o'clock hour here to girls golf with head coach Kip Stender. Good morning, Kip.
Good morning, Paul.
How's your day going so far?
Pretty good. Beautiful outside.
All right. Well, how many meets do we have to talk about?
We have the conference championship tournament to talk about.
Okay, and that was in Marshall?
Correct.
Okay. Well, tell us all about it.
All right, well, the girls shot well, had a good day, started off a little sluggish, but turned in a nice round of a 374 to win the tournament. Dawson Boyd was second with a 384. Anytime you get two teams under 400 in Class A, that's pretty darn good golf. So two very good teams. Community Christian was third with a 475, so they're 100 strokes behind the first-place team there. McCray was 475 also, but CCC won the tiebreaker, and so that's what I haven't talked to the girls about it, but the fifth score counts if you have a tied team score, so then you go to the fifth golfer. And so it's very important that they never quit. They keep moving forward. They forget about the last shots and do their very best effort, and this team has done a great job of that. The girls have all worked very well, and then RTR was finished in fifth place with a 486. Individually, Sarah Halverson won the conference with an 85. Bella Jacobs was second with an 89. Brooklyn Olson and Molly Halverson tied for eighth with 100s. Grace Fossick was 23rd with a 122, and Caitlin Kittleson finished 28th with a 127. And so also at the conference meet, we complete the conference season. We were 6-0 in the dual meet part of the conference, and we won the conference championship. So the girls won their fifth consecutive conference championship on Monday.
Wow.
And so that's quite a feat. I've been blessed with coaching some great girls over the last 11, 12 years here, and they continue to work hard. They believe in the team, and we really focus on team effort. And there's, my saying all my years has been no one's better than anybody else. So we want to just keep working hard, and you never know when you might have a tougher round. So there's a teammate going to pick you up, and they're going to have their better round that day.
Right.
So
yeah, five years in a row, conference champs. Wow, that's pretty impressive there, Kip.
Right, and and last year we possibly had one of our best teams ever that wasn't able to compete, but these girls have really stepped up their team scores a little bit better than what I was expecting coming into the season, and they're going to get better yet. The way they work, their practices, their focus, their quality. They're practicing on their own outside of practice. So it's just been a pleasure to watch them grow together.
Okay. Good. That was the conference meet in Marshall then.
Correct. Yep. Very nice golf course.
Yep.
They put on a nice tournament. They're always a pleasure to work with the pro shop and the people there. So they do a nice job.
Good. Okay.
And then also that when we conclude the season, then we take 25% of the all the girls that participated in the conference this year. So that was eight. And so all conference, there were eight girls all conference. We had four girls, Sarah Halverson, Bella Jacobs, Brooklyn Olson, and Molly Halverson earning all conference. Sarah Halverson was the tournament champion and the MVP of the conference. And you earn the MVP by having the low scoring average for the season.
Wow, congratulations to Sarah.
And
how long has she been on varsity, Kip? Since seventh grade?
She started, she played varsity in seventh grade, and so this is her junior year, so her fifth year, and she's really developed into a real nice golfer, really understands yardages and what clubs to hit. She actually struggled in the front nine and wasn't hitting her driver very well, which has really been a strong part of her game this year. And so she kept the driver in the bag and went two or three wood and other clubs off the tee and shot a real nice second nine.
Good. Okay.
So that's golfing when you learn to do that.
Yep.
Because it's managing the course and managing something that's off in your game.
Right.
And
okay.
But no, she's done a nice job, as all the girls.
Okay. Anything else on the conference?
No. Like I said, Dawson finished second there. They've got a real nice team. They've done really well. They'll Dawson and us at sections, they're the two teams that are going to be the leaders in the section coming up here in a couple weeks.
Okay. All right. Anything else on golf this morning?
Yeah, Macy Zarbuck was our lone junior high girl. We did have, Grace and Caitlin and Molly have played some JV junior high to get some matches in. We're able to do 16 a year. We're not going to get to that this year, so we tried to get some of them some extra time there. But Macy finished her season. She had a 74 this week, Thursday, at Granite Falls, and I think her low for the year was a 72, so... Macy keeps working at it. She should be in the 60s by the end of the summer.
Okay.
And helping the program out in the future sometimes. So the girls have been, like I said, working hard, doing good. I've been really impressed with their mental part of playing in the tournaments and meets. We've started a little slow sometimes, and they stay focused and they finish strong. And one of my themes this year was, the last third, we're going to be the best team and the best focused in the last third of all our matches and tournaments.
Okay. All right. Real good. Well, what's coming up this week?
This week we have a tournament at Bold in Olivia Monday.
Hmm.
So there's six teams there. I'm not sure exactly all of who the teams are. Okay.
But Bold usually has a good girls golf team year in and year out, don't they?
Yeah, they got a real nice program and Steve and his brother do a nice job of coaching that team, and they got a real good program.
Okay. All right. Real good, Kip. Well, thanks for the golf report this morning on the girls. So talk to you next Saturday.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Yep.
All right.
That's Kip Stender on girls golf. John Sherb's in the studio, and we'll talk track right after this.
So Wearable Designs downtown Appleton is celebrating moms the whole month of May. It's a Mother's Day sale now through Monday, May 24th at So Wearable Designs. 20% off store-wide. That's right, 20% off store-wide. Sign mom up for a gift certificate that will be drawn on Monday, May 24th. Also, 30% off in-stock school apparel during this sale. So Wearable Designs is open Monday through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4, and located on Main Street, Appleton. So Wearable Designs, your one-stop shop for unique apparel and gifts.
Q92 Radio has an opening for a part-time office assistant. Hours are 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. They're flexible. Duties include answering the phone, greeting visitors, preparing daily program logs, we'll train for that, and basic computer skills. You must like dealing with people. If you're interested in some on-air work, there may be additional hours available, but that's optional. For additional information on this part-time office assistant job at Q92 Radio, call 320-598-7301, talk to Chris Kuchenmeister or Maynard Meyer. You can pick up an application at our studios at 623 West 3rd Street, Madison, Minnesota. Q92 is an equal opportunity employer.
It's beef month, and Amy at the Meat Center in Appleton says spring is a thrill and it's time to grill. The Meat Center in Appleton has a large variety of beef patties and brats for summer grilling. It will be a great grilling season, and the Meat Center in Appleton has specials for it. See Amy today.
John Sherb's in the studio to talk Lacaparral Valley Dawson Boyd Boys Track. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Beautiful morning.
Yeah, it is. Really nice morning this morning. So.
That's right. All right. How the boys do this week?
Had a good meet over on YME on Tuesday. It was with McCray's invite over there. We're just trying to get some kids healthy. We're still a little nicked up. We held some kids out, and so we're trying to fight that issue. But, you know, it's one thing I'm very fortunate having kids that are not afraid to go on events they aren't quite accustomed to, and that we move some kids around. That's what just we got to do. 100 meter dash, Trevin Johnson was second with a time of 11.87. And then also in the boys 200, Trevin got a chance to run the 200 there to see where he's at. That's his first one he's ran this year. So went 24.68. And then also Ethan Herson was 12th in there at a time of 28.78. Boys 400 meter dash. We did not get anybody in that, and that was kind of a hole we had. We would have, but with moving a couple kids around, we had to pull that out. 800-meter run, Caleb Johnson was second with a time of 211.21. And the 32 in the mile, Darius Fenske ran a personal best of 442.84, and that was after he ran the 4x8, which was probably 30 minutes before. So that was really good to see him do a double like that just to kind of see where he is at, and he can handle it. And like I said, NPR. Peyton Starewood continues to PR in that 2 mile. He went 10:33, and that's another PR by about 7 seconds. So, we're making good improvements where it is, and that's good to see. 300 hurdles. James Weber was third, 47.34, and that is a PR for him. We're hoping maybe he can get in that 46s. He's not far off. He can clean up a couple of hurdles. He'll be in that 46. He may even find 45, and that'll be interesting to do that. 4x1, we had to change that around a little bit with the injuries we've got. That was, we put in there, James Weber in there, just, again, it was the second time in there, so that was, he got some custom to it, but that was Gage Liebel to James Weber, to Trevin Johnson, and then also to Austin Mullen was the anchor, and they were second with a time of 48.71.
Okay.
Boys 4x2 was kind of our makeshift squad we threw in there. We had to change that around. Got Gage out of the shot, out of the discus to come and run, lead off the 4x2. So he led it off to Eli Hagelin, to Isaac Conover, and then to Hunter Martinson. 4x4 really turned into a fantastic race. And if you've ever watched 4x4s, this one was fun. We kind of put a semi-loaded loaded one in there. We're three legs solid. We're trying to find the fourth one. And nice thing is Canby loaded it also, so that was kind of nice to have us go against them. And we ran, you know, we ran three really nice legs, and the fourth leg just went off for us. And we had the lead going into, I just didn't know if we had enough real estate on it because Canby's anchor is that fast. I just didn't know we had enough, but he was the Josephson kid caught Hunter Martinson at the 200 to go, and he pulled alongside him and then passed him, and then with 100 to go, he was probably 5 yards in front of him. Hunter, I don't know what got in his mind. He decided to dig deep and go home, and he came back and caught him and nudged him at the end and beat him by probably 3 feet. And he ended up PRing big time. He went big, and it was a 53 split. So that was really nice to see that, him step up, hit a big one. Now hopefully that will lead some other bigger things on that one. And that was Caleb Johnson to Darius Fenske to James Weber to Hunter Martinson. 4x8, we also loaded that up just to kind of see, put our best 4x8 together. And the nice thing, Canby loaded theirs also, so that was get a chance to race, and that's what we've been trying to do. We ended up winning with a time of 837.95. That's a season best by over 32 seconds. Mm-hmm. So we really cut off and really ran well. And we had some good marks in there. You know, Peyton Starewood went 2:15, the first time he's ever gone that low, and that was good. But we had some really good. And that was Darius Fenske to Caleb Johnson to Peyton Starewood to Hunter Martinson. Boys high jump. We got Boyk back, Brayson back with his injury. We didn't run him as much. We just kind of got some the high jump. Looked really rusty early. Had some early misses, which usually clears easily. But, again, that's just trying to get him back into it just with his quad injury. He was second with a high jump of 5'4". Ethan Hersham was third and had some PR for him. Big jump there. He went 5 foot. And then Joseph Felton was sixth at 4'2". Boys long jump. And a long jump, we just had Ethan Hersham in the long jump there. He was ninth with a time with a jump of 13 feet 11. Boys triple, James Weber, and I believe that's a PR for him. He went 33 feet 2 inches. He finished fourth. Shot put, Austin Mullen was third, 38 feet 11. Gage Lebo was fourth at 38 feet 3. And then Jack Kennedy was also 11th at 28.02, and Isaac Tuckett was 15th at 27.04. Boys discus. Austin Mullen is our top thrower. He threw it 97.08, and he was in sixth. And then Jack Kennedy was 10th at 84. And Gage Lebo's 12th at 80 feet. And Isaiah Tuckett was 17th at 47.11. Scoring-wise, we finished third. YME just got enough points on it. They went with 137 points. Canby was second at 99. We were third at 87. And fourth was McCray at 81. So, you know, I was very pleased with the kids. You know, what we scored. We scored very well for the events we were in. I know we're just kind of getting things pieced together here, and hopefully down the road, you know, with basically a week and a half till conference, trying to get our guys healthy and back in the right spot.
Good. All right. Good meet. What do you got coming up this week, John?
Then we are Tuesday. We're at Monty, and that would be, I think it's like 4 or 4:30 start over there in Monty, so it'll be a nice close one again there, so we'll have that.
Okay. Hey, you have your NDSU apparel on. That reminds me, Kaiser Friedley and Alasia and the Bertunic girl down in Sioux Falls, they competed this weekend.
And also Mikey Qual, too. I saw a snap of Mikey competed up.
Where's he at?
He's at Duluth, okay. UMD. So I saw Kelly had sent something out that he was running up there. Because I went down last night. I couldn't get Kaiser's race down because he ran at 4:30 in the prelims of the 8. But then I got a chance to watch Alasia steeplechase because I figured it was probably her last college race in an NDSU uniform. So I busted down there to go watch her in a steeple. So that was really fun
watching. Where was that at?
They were at Vermilion, South Dakota last night. Oh, so okay. Wow. Kaiser PR'd in the 800, went 151 and some change. And so that's hauling. That's moving very nicely. And so he's in the finals this afternoon. I want to say it's like at 145. I think that's live streamed also. They'll have something live streamed on the Summit Conference. So okay. He will run them. But Alasia was fourth in the steeple last night. She had a chance. There's a water barrier. She hit that one. She stumbled coming out of the water. That lost a lot of momentum. Mm-hmm. But it came down to a kick for that third spot and just missed it. She was fourth. But okay. I know she was disappointed, but it was still fun watching her run.
Yeah. Hard to believe she's a senior in college already.
It is.
And wow.
How did she
get involved in steeple? I mean, you don't do steeple in high school. How did that happen?
She just picked up the technique. They moved her in there because of her distance background and the speed part. And she's athletic enough with basketball and everything else. I think that helped. And her hurdling form wasn't bad at all. So she's pretty smooth. And that just, again, once in a while, you know, it's a devastating race. If you have a bad moment on a barrier, you're going down.
How many of them water barriers? I've never really seen steeplechase, but how many of them water barriers are there?
There's just the one, but they hit that, I believe, 6 times.
Oh, wow.
So it's a 7.5 lap race, and I think if I remember it's like 6 times you'll hit it, and you got to be able to come out of that water because you're jumping and pushing off, and then that you try to see how deep the water is because it's pretty steep in there in spots, and if you catch it wrong, you will land, you will crumple up and fall.
Okay.
So, but like I said, just she got talked into it, and she's a pretty darn good one, so she's done well. I was very happy because some people just. It's tough. It's a tough technique of keeping it all together.
And she's really had a great career at NDSU.
Yeah, she has. She really has done a nice job in filling a lot of holes for up and cross and track and everything else, and really has enjoyed her time up there, I think.
Yep, good. Always nice to keep up to date on the former Lock Brawl Valley Dawson Boyd track athletes. So I know the Bertuni girls at Sioux Falls.
Yep, and Dad's been keeping me in the loop of how she's been doing it, the long jump and the high jump with Avery. So been kind of keeping that loop. I don't know
what's Mikey do up at Duluth.
I'm thinking he's running some miles up there. Okay. I haven't seen the whole times because they were shut down for a while with no spectators. But now they started opening it back up again. Okay. But so he's been in that middle distance up there.
All right. All right, real good. Thanks, John.
No problem.
For coming in today. Appreciate it. John Sherb on Lock Brawl Valley Dawson Boyd Boys track. We'll get on the phone. I think we'll get a hold of Sherry Hansen and talk girls track right after this. Dave at Doug Service and Marine of Camby says, how do we stay small and sell big? It's simple. Years of experience. At Doug Service and Marine Incorporated, their mission is to offer you the latest in parts and products at the best prices and with outstanding service. They do ATV repairs, chainsaw service, lawnmowers. They are your small engine repair shop. Check out DougsMinc.com for all the information you'll need. That's Doug Service and Marine. They can be found along Highway 68 in Camby. Loughborough Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency, located downtown Dawson, owned by the people they serve and always at your service, would like to salute everyone involved in the beef industry during May Beef Month. They also like to invite farmers and everyone to stop in and check with them for all your insurance needs. They offer complete fire, windstorm, and hail liability, and auto insurance. That's the Loughborough Mutual Insurance Company with their office located Main Street, Dawson. The Strand Agency. Call 320-769-4410. That's 320-769-4410. Again, saluting everyone involved in the beef industry during May Beef Month. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show on a beautiful Saturday. Paul Ramo here in the studio. We're going to talk Loughborough Valley Dawson Boyd girls track right now with longtime head coach Sherry Hansen. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
When I said long time, how many long time years is that?
36
yep. years. Well, congratulations. Yep. You've seen a lot of student athletes come through your program.
Yep, then. It's been a lot of fun. I haven't always been head. I've been assistant quite a bit too when Dave Nibby was head, but we've seen a lot of not just great athletes but awesome kids come through, and you know, I think that's kind of why we stick around, because you know, it's so rewarding with the people that we work with. So
yep.
The kids just work so hard and they're just great kids. Yeah.
You mentioned Dave Nibby. He was my track coach, Sherry, so
is that right?
We got a little connection there.
You got it.
All right. Well, fill us in on the girls' track team this week.
Okay, we went to Yellow Medicine, and 100-meter dash, Maya Conroy was second with 13.65. Peyton Moe was sixth with 14.17. Reese Johnson was eighth with 14.34. And Kayla Jen was ninth with 15.36. And they placed sixth places, but it's really nice we get the results for everybody so we can kind of see how everybody's doing, and makes a difference when we start looking at conference and putting people in different events. So, and the 200-meter dash, Maya, we've been working with the kids on running their curves a little harder and getting out quicker, and it really, I really could see the difference. I think they had a little mistake with placing kids. We tried to get it straightened out, but I think they missed somebody here anyway. But Maya Conroy was first place with a 28.74. Addison Tufto was second with 29.14. And then our distance runner, Annika Fernholz, wanted to run a 200, so it's like, sure, why not? So she ended up in fifth place with a 30.43, so some hidden talent there. And Ella Johnson, she should have been placed up higher, and they missed her. They've got her at 10th at 31.27, and Lexi Gleggy was 11th at 31.33. For the 400-meter dash, Brandy Meyer tried that for the first time and didn't do too bad. She said it's a little tougher than what she expected. She ended up in ninth place with a 1:16.11. 800-meter run, Taylor Wood ran a really nice race. She ended up in third place with 2:48.87. Josie Sherb was eighth with 2:59.3. And Reese Oxendorf was 10th with 3:04.88. In the mile run, those girls did a great job. Annika Fernholz was second with a 6:14.87. Taylor Wood was third with 6:20.9, and Josie Sherb was sixth with 6:47.96. We had nobody in the 2 mile yet. In the 100-meter hurdles, girls did a really nice job there also. Ayanna Hasted won that with 17.96. Callie Borman was fourth with 19.18, and Brandy Meyer was fifth with 21.93. Then our 4x100-meter relay team, we put together a new one because we had a couple kids who were dinged up and weren't able to run. So our 4x1 was Peyton Moe. She's been a regular, and Kayla Jan has. And then Callie Borman was next, and then Lainey Bartunek, and they ended up in second place with a 57.43. Our 4x2 has been pretty consistent. We've got Lexi Gleggie with Reese Johnson and Addison Tufto and Maya Conroy. They were third with a 159.4. And I think they were kind of disappointed they ended up in third place, but I told them they're running against Camby and McCray, and they've got some speedsters. They are running really fast. So these kids ran a really nice race. It was one of their better times, and I told them, you guys are doing a good job, so just to hang in there, keep working hard. And then the high jump, Ella Johnson and Ayanna Hasted tied for fifth place at 4 feet 4 inches. Callie Borman was 10th at 4 feet. And then in the long jump, Lainey Bartunek had a really nice jump. She won that with 13 feet 10 inches. Ella Johnson was 6th with 13.25. Maya Conroy was 7th with 13.1. And Jalen Lee was 13th with 12.35. In the triple jump, Ella Johnson was 6th with 28.11.5. Lainey Bartunek was 7th with 28.6.5. Callie Conn was 8th with 28.3. And Jalen Lee was 9th with 28.1. In the shot put, Cameron Lee had a really nice throw. She won that with 32 feet 3 inches. And Paige Meyer was 5th with 28.10.5. Layla Poos was 8th with 25.7. And Isabella Long Henry was 9th with 25.6.5. For the discus, Paige Meyer was 5th with 82 feet 10. Cameron Lee was 6th with 73.3. Brandy Meyer was 7th with 73.1. And Jalen Lee was 8th with 69.6. And for finishing for a team, we were in third place with 87 points. Camby Miniota won that with 130, and then McCray was second with 108, then us with 87, and YME with 51. So, you know, we had some empty events. We didn't have a 4x8, and we didn't have anybody in the 2 mile, and nobody in the 300 hurdles. So, you know, and we didn't have a 4x4. So, you know, for the events that they competed in, they did a great job and scored some really good points. So if we had a few more bodies to put in there, we'd be doing okay. But I'm very satisfied. The kids are working hard and making some really good improvements. And I just think they're doing a great job. So
good.
Good meet.
Good, good.
Yeah.
What's coming up next for the girls?
Same as the boys on Tuesday. The junior high go to, I think it's Lakeview for a junior high meet, and then we have got a varsity meet in Montevideo on Tuesday, and then nothing till conference the next week on Thursday.
Okay. And conference is at Montevideo this year? Or?
No, we host conference.
Oh, you host conference. Okay.
Yeah.
And when is that?
That is on the 27th of May. It's a Thursday night.
Okay.
All right, and what's nice, Tuesday night, we'll get to see Morris and Ortonville. We haven't seen them, so a little different competition, so that'll be nice for the kids to see more than just what we have been lately. So
okay. All right. Real good, Sherry. I visited with John Sherb a little bit about some former Lacapra Valley Dawson Boy Girls Track members having great success in college, Alaysia Freetley and Avery Bartunek.
Yeah.
I know a track. I don't know if Jordan Sterud's running track for Northern or not, but I know she did cross country. She is. Okay.
Yep, she is running, and she came out to the track and practiced with the kids the other night, so it was really nice to see her.
Oh.
Kids are looking good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really great.
Good. Yeah, it's always fun to watch your former students have success on the college level, isn't it?
It really is, yes, yeah. And that they enjoy it so much because it's a completely different experience.
Yep. Okay. All right, real good. Thanks, Sherry, for the report this morning, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep, that's Sherry Hansen, the head coach of the
Lacapra Valley Dawson Boy Girls Track Team. We'll take a break, come back, and talk softball with head coach Janet Larson right after this.
Looking for new appliances? Yeah, that's been like finding a needle in a haystack. If you're looking for a new freezer, your odds of finding one are worse than winning the lottery. Well, your luck is about to change. Larry's Refrigeration and Heating in Ortonville and Madison have been busy receiving appliances and have them in stock, including chest and upright freezers, along with washers and dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and dishwashers. Larry's brands include GE, Crosley, Speed Queen, and Hot Point Appliances. Find your next new appliance locally at Larry's Refrigeration and Heating in Ortonville and Madison today.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall.
Heather Floral and Greenhouse in Montevideo, Madison and Dawson is ready for spring, and the greenhouse is open. Stop in today to pick out your spring plants, garden seed needs, grass seed. They also have bulk garden seeds of all kinds. And Heather Floral and Greenhouse has all your greenhouse supplies. Heather Floral and Greenhouse is open Monday through Fridays, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon. And listen to The Garden Show with Dwayne Hasted Thursday mornings at 11:15. Spring is here. Shop Heather Floral and Greenhouse.
Time to talk softball on the Coach's Show this morning with head coach Janet Larson. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Paul.
And your day going well so far?
Sure. I appear to have a little bit of a spring cold that hit me yesterday, so I'm a little nasally, so apologize to our listeners. But, yeah, other than that, it's a great day.
Yeah, did you get much rain over by your way?
You know, I guess we do have a rain gauge, come to think of it, but I never checked it. But I would guess there was some nice puddles that are around town. It's nice to see.
Inch and a half here in Madison last night.
Oh,
so.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
All right. Well, let's talk softball. How many games do you guys have this past week?
We had one doubleheader on Tuesday,
okay.
And so the rest of the week was a week to sharpen some of our skills and practice, and I gave them one night off. I feel like they've been running and gunning here since we started indoors, so we took Wednesday off, and then Thursday, Friday, we've been practicing and getting ready for next week, because we have a busy week next week. But Tuesday, we did play YME. YME came to Acaparral. YME has a young team. I spoke with their coach a little bit before the game, and it's a rebuilding year for them. They had some 7th and 8th graders. One of them was even pitching on the mound and did a decent job for them. So with that said, we beat them 25-0 in the first game. And, you know, our girls, they took a few walks and a couple hit pitches, but mainly hitting the ball. These girls just, they're not wanting to stand there and take walks. Instead, these girls are hitting, and that's certainly proof of it. They had 21 hits in this game. So we had Riley on the mound for us, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Otherwise, the batting order, top to bottom, they can hit, and they're scoring runs for us. So it's fun to see everyone have success. We celebrated our two seniors that night, Macy Lund and Cassidy Olson. And both of them did a great job. Macy had an exceptional first game for us. She went 4-for-4 at the plate. She scored 5 runs for us. She had 4 RBIs, and she had a double. Cassidy had a great game as well. She had 2 long fly balls to the fence in center field. That one of them was going to go for us, but their outfielder made nice catches. So YME did a nice job defensively on some of our long fly balls. She went 1-for-4. She scored a run, and she had 1 double. And she took 1 for the team when she was hit by a pitch. So both those seniors are contributing. They're fantastic leaders for us. Really excited for them to keep pushing through this season and see how far we can go with them as our leaders. Other batters in that game, other playing, contributing players, was Taylor Shelstead, 2-for-4 with 3 runs, 4 RBIs, and a double. Riley Sawatsky was just hot. She went 3-for-3, scored 2 runs, had 4 RBIs, had a double, and she did smack a 2-run homer over the center field fence. It's always exciting and fun to see one of your girls hit the ball over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting for Riley. Tori Bungarden did a great job, too, at the plate, 3-for-5. She scored 2 runs, had 3 RBIs for us, Riley Lund went 2 for 5 with 2 runs. Addie Bond went 2 for 4 with 3 runs, 2 RBIs. Isabel Gurdes went 2 for 3 with 4 runs and 1 RBI. Ayanna Gibson went 2 for 4 with 3 runs and 2 RBIs. So for a total of 21 hits and 20 RBIs in that first game, they did a nice job defensively. There were not any errors. We just played a rock-solid game. Riley on the mound did a super job. She pitched 4 innings. It was a shutout. She faced 15 batters. And obviously, without allowing any runs to cross the plate, she did give up 1 hit and struck out 12 and let 2 free passes go. So again, fantastic outing on the mound for Riley. That was her 6th shutout of the season. So that was game 1, Paul. And game 2 was a little closer. We did 10 run them. It was 15-5 was the final score. I started Taylor Shellstead on the mound. She did a nice job for us. In 3 innings, she faced 20 batters. She gave up 5 runs, although only 2 of those were earned runs. We had a couple errors that cost us a couple runs. She faced, like I mentioned, 20 batters, and she gave up only 2 hits. And she hit a couple batters, and she walked 4, and she did have 3 strikeouts for us. So with a little bit of a defensive struggle there, her outing was solid. We just we didn't help her out defensively in a couple hot spots when we needed to. Riley did finish the game for us on the mound. She pitched 2 innings for us and faced 6 batters. Gave up, no runs, no hits, and she struck out 3. So pitching is spot on right now. These girls are working hard every day in practice when they're throwing. They're working on their spots. They're working on, their fastball changeup. So it's fun to see our pitching battery work as hard as they do.
Yeah. Boy, you said in that first game you had 21 hits?
Yes, Paul. These girls are something else right now. I guess I should say just from the beginning of the season, when there's pitches to be hit, they go after them. They know what they like in their zone, and they're aggressive. And that's fun to see, because that's what we're going to need as we push forward with some tougher competition.
Right. Okay.
Which is always subsection and sections. It
right.
should be tough. That's where we're headed. So, yeah, for hitting in that game, again, like we just talked about, our bats were on fire. In 4 innings, we had 16 hits, and there was 13 RBIs. Out of that 15 runs that we did have. So Macy Lund went 1 for 4. She scored a run and had 1 RBI, and she had a triple. Taylor Shellstead went 2 for 3. She's just so fast on the bases. She stole a base for us. She scored 3 runs. She had 3 RBIs, and she too hit a triple. Riley Sawatsky went 2 for 3. She scored 3 runs and 2 RBIs. Cassidy Olson went 2 for 3, scored 3 runs, had an RBI, and she had a double for us. Tori Bungarden went 3 for 3, scored 2 runs, had 2 RBIs. Riley Lund went 2 for 3 and scored a run. Addie Bond went 2 for 3. Isabel Gurdes went 1 for 3 and scored a run at 2 RBIs. And Taylor Kittleson played right field for us in that second game, and she went 1 for 2, scored a run, and she too had 2 RBIs. So you can see every one of them is hitting. I have no doubt about anyone who comes to the plate that they can get a bat on the ball and make something happen for us. So that's exciting for this Acapulco team this year.
Yeah, you got hitting from top to bottom this year. That's for sure. All of them can hit, and you got good pitching. So you want to be playing your best softball as you go into the playoffs, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Right now we stand at 14-2. Our last big conference game here will be this coming Thursday against TMB. And with knowing that KMS and TMB are chasing right behind us in the conference, those are 2 very important games for us on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll be down in Tracy. We'll be broadcasting both games Thursday. But I think you got a game on Tuesday, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We're going to play 2 non-conference games this season, and the first one will be Tuesday against Benson. I'm very excited to actually go play that game. It's a 5 o'clock start, so later, because it's the West Central Conference. So excited for the girls, because we should see some really good pitching. It should be a good game. I see that Benson beat KMS last night 4-3. So again, I'm expecting it to be a really good competition for us, and that's what we need. And I just tell the girls that what we're doing right now is we're going to play our best ball, and we're going to hit competition. And as long as you give your best effort, you know, we might lose a non-conference game, or you know, some, we might not play our best, but yet we need to do that. That's our focus, is to overcome errors and do our best on the bases. And I think the bats, you know, have a potential to certainly hit well for us. So it'll be a good game Tuesday. They're second in their conference. They're right behind Morris right now. So.
Okay. Good.
That's yeah. And
go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, and like you mentioned, of course, Thursday we'll run to TMB, and they're chasing us, like you mentioned. So they've got, they appear to have some good pitching and solid defense, too. So it'll be a good game on Thursday when you're there to let all of our listeners know how it's going for us.
Yeah. That's a 4:30 start, I believe, and Tracy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. Our junior high played, Paul. I'll just do a shout out for them too. They played this last week. They played Monty, and you were at a couple of those games.
I was over there for that one to watch my granddaughter play for Montevideo.
How'd she do?
But I was wearing Lacaparral Valley apparel. I just want you to know that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep.
Apparently Lacaparral Sue just sent me a little text here that Lacaparral did win two games there. They beat them 8-2 and 8-1. So. Yep. Good outings for Acapal, and Monty, I'm sure, is working on building that program, too. They always do. They work hard.
Yeah, they have a good team as well. So.
Yeah, they played Ortonville last night, our Acapal Junior High team, and they beat them 15-12. So they're having a successful season this year. I don't know the exact total overall record, but okay. I know there's many more wins than losses right now. So shout out to all those girls playing junior high softball.
All right.
Nice job.
All right, thanks a lot, Janet. I appreciate the report on the softball team, and good luck this week in Benson on Tuesday and in Tracy on Thursday.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, that's head coach Janet Larson of the Lacaparral Valley softball team. We'll take a break and
come back with tennis right after this.
When the clay hammers dropped by unexpectedly, it was beef and pasta primavera. For the first ever straight-A report card, it was stir-fried beef fajitas. And for the upset victory in the bowling league tourney, it was bistro steak subs. Of course, it's not that you need a special occasion to appreciate dinners like these. All you really need is half an hour, and your average Wednesday will do just fine. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Brought to you by the Midwest Cattlemen's Association. Hats off to everyone involved in the beef industry during May Beef Month, from Appleton Building Center, Tri-County Insurance, Fiesta City Liquor, Montevideo, Lacaparral Corn and Soybean Growers, Moberg Meat Center in Canby, Heather Nursery and Floral, Cottonwood Co-op Oil Company, Appleton Meat Center, and Hendricks Farmers Lumber.
Whitnable Construction of Madison, Minnesota specializes in new home construction, remodeling, and overhead doors, and much more. Whitnable Construction has over 40 years of experience in the construction business. Whatever you have in mind, Blake and his crew can do it. Call Blake today at 320-226-0202. That's 320-226-0202. Whitnable Development Properties also has storefront space on Main Street, Madison.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention now to Dawson Boy Lacaparral Valley Boys Tennis with head coach Austin Ireland. Good morning, Austin.
Morning.
You had a busy week this week, didn't you? Tell us all about it, Austin.
Okay, well, started out Monday. New London Spicer came to the Valley, and they're not in our section or conference, but it was nice to play them. Chad's meeting them, got a good team. They ended up beating us 4-3. Now, there's a little bit change in the lineup. Tyler Buehr, who was normally our one singles, he hurt his knee with squatting in the weight room. Believe it or not, you know, looking at him, he's so big and strong, I would think the weights would be hurt by him. But so we switched the Buehrs around. So we had Tyler Buehr and Wiley Wiebe at one doubles. They won 6-2, 6-3. Elijah Pierkinson and Wyatt Wiebe at two doubles. They won 6-4, 6-1. And Matt Martinson and Nate Gruhl at third doubles won in three sets. We went to a third set tiebreak because, like I said, they're not in our section or conference, and they won 6-4, 2-6, and then 7-2. We unable to get a win out of the singles group, so that's how we lost 4-3. Now, Jackson Buehr, he took over his older brother's spot at one singles, and he lost a pretty good matchup there to Kenny Schmiesing, one of the coaches relative there. You know, that's 2-6, 4-6. Jackson, he really came out of that second set, you know, used to playing doubles. He's played doubles all year and hasn't really had much singles experience. And then at two singles, Gavin Stoltz, he fell short to Kyle Denz, 1-6, 3-6. Kyle, he was a senior, you know, and Gavin's still, you know, kind of still learning. Him and Levi, too, both sophomores, playing at 2 and 3 singles. They both played against some tough seniors here through New Line Spicer. Levi, at third singles loss, 1-6, 1-6, to a Logan Larson. And Liam Risch, he lost to Jack Barney, 2-6, 5-7. Came back and almost forced a third set tiebreaker. So that's our Monday score, 4-3 in favor of one. And it was a good good experience. We had the junior high played in Madison. So it was kind of a good, they have good numbers just like we do. So it was good to utilize those beautiful courts there at the Theodore Park, I believe it is, something like that. So that was Monday. Tuesday we went to Montevideo. There was a little junior high was supposed to host, but some issues there. So Brandon Hurley in the junior high, after waiting around for Monty, they just said, "Well, we'll load them up in the van and we'll drive up to the Wyndham courts and we'll play them." And they had a lot of fun. But on the varsity end, we ended up beating Montevideo, who was there in our conference and our section, so that'll help with the seedings. We beat them 4-3. We swept the doubles, and we got a win on fourth singles to Liam Risch. Started with him there, go from the bottom up. Liam Risch beat Andrew Soden. That was a 6-1, 6-1 victory. At number three singles, Levi Olson fell short. He forced to a third set, and we decided to let the kids figure out what they wanted to do with that third set. And we're supposed to kind of play that full third set out, but, you know, being that time constraints. So the score there was 6-3. Levi came out strong and won that first set, but then lost that second set 0-6, and then the tiebreaker fell short, lost 2-10. Gavin Stoltz, he ended up playing another senior. He lost 2-6, 2-6. And Jackson Buehr, we still had him playing singles. Him and Tyler were still switched here for that. And he lost to Lucas Hoyum, a senior, 1-6, 2-6. Our one doubles, this was kind of almost unfair how good our one doubles is. When Tyler, we moved him there. They won 6-0, 6-0. Him and Wiley Wiebe, they kind of just took care of business. They had fun. They had fun playing doubles together. I'm not sure what they're going to do for section-wise. They might pair up or what. We still got a lot of tennis yet to be played until then. Second doubles, Elijah Pierkenstad and Wyatt Wiebe. They beat Taylan Brock and Oscar 6-2, 6-3. And then our third doubles, Matt Martinson and Nate Gruel, they were feeling it. They won 6-0, 6-0. So we had a nice win there against Montevideo. They were hungry for some fast food, too, I think. That was nice to see them. They were pretty excited about that. That was Tuesday. Thursday night, we had a little fun neutral site matchup against the Osakis Silver Streaks. So Osakis, they're about a little under an hour from Morris, and we were about 45 minutes from Morris, so that's where we played at the Morris Area High School courts, just just south of the high school. We ended up winning 4-3. Again, we sweep the doubles. Wiley Wiebe and Jackson Buehr. We kind of ended up changing back to our original lineup. They won 6-0, 6-1. That was at one double. At two doubles, Bjerkenstad and Wiebe, they won 6-2, 6-3. And then Matt Martinson and Nate Gruel, they won in our third doubles matchup. At singles action, Tyler Buehr, he faced Isaac Maddock, who was Ryan Maddock, who really really great coach for Osakis. Their girls team is kind of a dynasty. They've been winning the girls section. They're in our section for girls, but not for boys. They've won that the past few years, and Isaac's a really good. He can get the ball back. He's a really outstanding player, and he's only a sophomore. So it'll be fun to watch him in the years to come. Tyler fell short, 1-6-0-6. Gavin Stoltz, he took out another senior. Boy, it seems like he's always getting seniors. This one's Logan Grope. He was a wrestler, state entrant wrestler for Osakis. So I got to see him wrestle and got to see him play tennis too. But I'm kind of hoping he would have, wasn't as good as a tennis player as a wrestler. But he was a pretty good player. He ended up meeting Gavin 4-6, 3-6. Really close matchup. That one could have went either way. but it went to the way Logan Grove. Levi Olson, he lost 3-6, 5-7. You know, Levi gets into the groove, but just a little bit, not enough quite right there to get the victory. And but we just needed one singles point, and we got it with four singles. Liam Risch, he won with a score of 6-1, 6-3. And after that matchup, you know, Ryan and I messaged the athletic director, the two Tonys, the big boss men. And I said, you know, we should keep doing this. This was a really fun fun atmosphere. It's kind of a neutral site. Good to see some new faces. You know, I haven't ever played Osakis boys for the 6 years I've been around. And, yeah, they had a lot of fun. Matt Martinson was wearing an old Army helmet. It was like a prop or something. One of those things where I just didn't ask questions, but the kids, yeah, they were having a blast. So yeah, that was Thursday. We finished the week off with a 4-3 victory. So that brings our record to 5-7 overall, and 2-3 in the conference. Now this morning we're heading to Benson. We're going to take on Montevideo. They had changed our format, you know, because we couldn't do an individual tournament conference. Okay. So it's going to be a team tournament. So we play Monty, and then the winner will play Benson. And then Mittawaska is hosting YME. And after the conclusion of that matchup, the winner will drive to Benson, and they will play the winner of the Benson. And then the Monty Lacaparle Dawson Boyd winner. So I'm just glad we're in the seating we're at, where you don't have to win and drive a half hour. That's
right.
But you know, with the Corpus, you know, you got to make do what you got to do.
Right. So is this for conference today?
But yes, it's conference. So it's really just kind of playing for a ribbon.
Wow, what a busy week for you guys. Sound like you come up with some close wins and you're starting to play some tennis at the right time going into the playoffs, huh?
Absolutely. That's the best thing. You know, our guys, they're looking at the scores, you know, they're just getting better. They're getting better, you know, they're winning. Yeah, it's good. The scores are good. But even the guys that are losing, they're very competitive in there. A lot of deuces, a lot of, you know, just losing the set by only a couple points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good to see. And, you know, on Thursday night, I forgot to mention this, our junior high wrapped up their season. And Coach Brandon Hurley, he does a phenomenal job. He and the boys had a lot of fun. They played Montevideo twice, and to the second time, a lot of kids that they had lost to, you know, they ended up beating the last time. So that shows a good amount of growth, and boy, the future looks bright for them guys.
Next week for the tennis team.
Next week we will take on Pipestone, and that'll be the last section matchup before the section play. So that's the regular season section matchup, and that'll help determine the seeding. So if we beat the Pipestone, we'd be looking at a 4 seed and hosting the first round, and that's kind of one of our goals. You know, we don't want to travel on, you know, on a first round one.
Yep. Okay.
But, yeah, and then Thursday we take on Wilmer. That was kind of just freshly added to the schedule, so that'd be they're a really competitive squad. But we can, you know, I think I might take that opportunity and maybe move some things around, because in section play you can have 3 lineups. So this might be an opportunity for, you know, switch some things around, because, you know, there's a couple other times where it seems like we sweep the doubles and we lose a lot of times. If you lose, it's 4-3.
Okay.
We sweep the doubles, but we're unable to get a singles point. So maybe we can, stir up something and
good.
Put something on the sleeve here.
All right, Austin. Well, appreciate the report this morning on the tennis team, and good luck today in Benson, you said, right?
Yep, they're squeezing out the courts here, so we'll see. Hopefully we can. I haven't got a phone call yet, so.
All right, thanks, Austin. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacaparle Valley Boys tennis team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Moberg Meat Center, 125 St. Olaf Avenue North in Canby, right downtown, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, USDA Choice Boneless Beef New York Strip Steak, just $9.99 a pound. Fresh ground, 80% lean ground beef, just $2.69 a pound, 30-pound limit. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is $4.29 a pound. Pick up some Swift Thick-Cut Boneless Pork Chops, $2.49 a pound. Homemade Ham Loaf, $3.99 a pound. And Marinated Boneless Pork Chops, $2.99 a pound. Moberg Meat Center, right downtown Canby. Call them at 507-223-5292 and be sure to like them on Facebook.
And that wraps up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show today. Tune in next Saturday at 8:30. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
More rockets and more unrest. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Since yesterday, some 200 rockets have been launched from Gaza into Israel as fighting in the Middle East intensifies. Today, Palestinians are marking an occasion known as Nakba.
The day of the catastrophe, the day that Palestinians lost their land to Israel.